All right, we'll go ahead and call to order the Amelia Island Tourist Development Council here at 12 o'clock p.m. here on March 30th, 2021. We do, if the clerk could please call the roll.
Certainly. Olivia Hoblet?
Here.
Where is she?
She's on.
Oh, okay, thank you, Olivia.
Yeah, sorry, I'm homesick, I'm right here.
Bob Hartman? Phyllis Davis? Barbara Hopperstadt?
Here.
Dr. Chip Ross?
Here.
Mr. Len Krieger?
Here.
Will Weist?
Here.
And Lisa West?
Here.
There you are.
I don't know if I'm in the right place.
Yes, you are, thank you. Oh, and Commissioner, no.
Here. Before we get started, I would like to have a moment of silence for David Caples. As we know, he did pass away last week, an icon of the tourist industry here on Amelia Island, one of the founders of the Tourist Development Council, a founder of Elizabeth Point Lodge, Katie Caples Foundation. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. Thank you. If you could please keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. First on the agenda is approval of the December 15th, 2020 minutes. If you could please examine those, and I'll entertain a motion.
Recommend approval.
Motion from Commissioner Krieger. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Second from Mr. Weiss. Is there all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there any public input from members of the audience on items on the agenda or not on the agenda? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record, and you may remove your mask if you would like to be more clear, if you'd like.
No, thanks. Does make it a lot easier to speak. Good morning or good afternoon, everybody. Paul Laurie, 2794 Longboat Drive, Fernandina Beach, Florida. I do thank you for the time. I'm up here today representing, if you don't know already, a road team called Four From Home. We're four local veterans that live here in the Amelia Island, Fernandina, Florida, Beach area, Nassau County. In December 12th, we are going to row 3,000 miles across the ocean from the Canary Islands to Antigua to raise awareness and drive resources to help in the fight to end veteran suicide. Over the last year and a half, we've been driving a mission and a campaign to raise $500,000 to drive those resources to Canine for Warriors and to create a vocational and academic scholarship here in northeastern Florida, particularly in Nassau County. If you're not really familiar with the event, it's not only a national event, but it's really more of an international event. I do know that the Tourist Council does look for means and avenues to advertise, and what I'm here today is asking if there's some means or way that some money can be targeted, because our boat is driven kind of by sponsorship. That's how we drive the resources towards our beneficiaries. Again, we are extending internationally. We are extending into, I know that the markets that the TDC currently markets at. I did send an email a little while back of our ocean rowboat and what that would look like to have the Amelia Island logo on it. We have covered all our operating costs, so there is absolutely no expenditures of money that would go towards that. We would make a commitment to the board, to the county, the use of public monies, that would just go 100% towards the scholarship endowment, that would stay here in the county. So that's really just my brief time of what I wanted to come up here and ask. I don't know if you have to put a motion. I know you only meet quarterly, or if that's got to get on your next agenda, but I would really like it if the TDC and the county. We are really representing Fernandina Beach. We're representing Amelia Island, and we are representing Nassau County on a national level. And I think we're going to really make everybody proud. So I'm hoping that you can come along with us on the ride. Thank you.
And thank you. And just I really appreciate the Four From Home team. They are drawing attention to veteran suicide, of course, is a very important issue. And I would ask Mr. Langley if you could work with at Four From Home and bring back something for the TDC to consider at our next meeting.
Thank you very much.
We also have some public input. If you look in your binder on the left-hand side, there's an email from Mr. Charland. He is recommending that we consider approval of the next item on the agenda regarding the American Beach Cultural Heritage and Visitor Experience Enhancement Initiative. And with that, I will move into that item, and Mr. Pope will be presenting that. Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Good afternoon, everyone. Taco Pope, County Manager. Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Kind of jealous. You got greater attendance at the TDC meeting than we have at most of the Board of County Commissioner meetings. You know, so, so today's discussion is going to be broken into four sections. We're going to do an abbreviated recap of the January 11th Board of County Commissioners workshop, which discussed the TDT fund management roles and responsibilities. The second is an abbreviated recap of the February 17th Board of County Commissioners workshop related to priority tourism projects, the planning horizons, and complexities. Third, is for the AITDC input related to the scope of services for the American Beach Cultural Heritage Visitor Experience Enhancement Initiative. And then four, we're going to talk a little bit about next steps and then open it up to just general discussion. At the January 11th board meeting, myself and county attorney, who also represents the Tourist Development Council, were asked to give a presentation to the Board of County Commissioners based on the roles and responsibilities of the various entities involved in managing the Tourist Development Tax Fund. In your packet is a copy of this handout. We're not going to go through it in depth. While it is not does not capture all the nuances that are involved, it gives a good overview of how the different pieces fit together. If you would like at a future time, I know Mr. Mullen would be agreeable as well, we can come back and give the same presentation, have a further discussion on this item if you'd like. At that same meeting in January, Mr. Mullen went over some frequently asked questions related to the Tourist Development Tax Fund. He also laid out the legal framework for its operation and expenditure. We discussed next steps. One of those was updating the Board of County Commissioners purchasing, procurement, and financial policies. So it's a comprehensive update. Included in that comprehensive update as a subset is management of the TDT fund. We have selected a firm to execute that work. Mr. Marshall Ironman, who is the assistant county manager, is going to be spearheading that internally. We have received some preliminary information from the AICVB via Osley McMillan. And then the board directed us to set a special meeting to discuss priority tourism projects in February. That led to a rather lengthy meeting and discussion of three projects. It was the Amelia Island, Florida Environmental Branding Initiative. The second was the Amelia Island Beachfront Parks Branding Harmonization and Visitor Experience Enhancement Initiative. And then the third was the American Beach Cultural Heritage Visitor Experience Enhancement Initiative. What we discussed at that meeting, and we went into some additional details beyond what we'll talk about here today, is that these are interrelated, synergetic, and compounding initiatives. And when you're looking at these long-term interrelated initiatives, you have to have a comprehensive strategy. You have to acknowledge up front that it's going to require significant resources in order to pull off, to be successful, and that it's going to impact work programs and budgeting for the next decade. So it's not a decision to be made lightly. It's a decision that you're going to be charting a course for years to come. As such, we described as having a 10-year planning horizon, so everything we do is going to be within that context of what's happening over the next 10 years. That led to a nice discussion about the budget process and its intent. I know that all of you know this, but a budget is not an accounting exercise. It's a collaborative, co-produced planning exercise and communication tool. It defines your priorities, your values, your timelines, and expectations. It tells me, as the manager, what I'm going to have to deliver, or I'm going to be in a bad spot, right? Next, it says provide for open and free public discourse, transparency, and accountability. So it's not just the board and staff that knows what the priorities and the directions are. It's the whole world knows, and that anyone who's interested can be involved in the conversation. When we talk about the planning process, this is a diagram I like to use because when you're looking at complex long-term initiatives, they're not linear and they're not circular. They're dynamic and evolutionary. And the reason for that is because the environment in which we operate, in which we live and we exist, is in a constant state of flux. And so what we start out today doing is going to change 15 times over the course. As long as we have good guidelines and we know the general direction we're heading, we can evolve, analyze, plan, execute in a continuous fashion throughout the planning horizon. I always like to use the natural environment as an example, the natural world. Those organisms that evolve with their environment survive, and those that don't, right? So we want to survive, and we want to be productive and efficient and effective in our operations. For those from the business world, it's an iterative process dependent on integrated planning. So when we broke out the 10-year planning horizon, this is very high level, and I'm not going to go through each one of these steps, but we broke it out in overlapping terms. So you have an immediate, you have a short, you have a medium, then you have a long. And essentially what it looks at is from the initial kickoff of, all right, we're setting parameters of what we want to do as a whole at February of 2021. We know that the execution and the final delivery of these initial discussions is going to be with the CIP, a capital improvement program, that ends in fiscal year 31-32. And so when we have the discussions and we as a group collectively decide to go this route, we know that there are going to be benchmarks we have to hit along the way in order to demonstrate that we are executing in a manner we have told the public and everyone that we would do so. The first, and I give you all the credit in the world, Gil provided me a copy of this, and it's an absolutely amazing document. It's the May Island, Florida Environmental Branding Initiative. I know you're not supposed to just read off of slides, but I think it's important. The purpose of the Amelia Island Environmental Branding Initiative is to enable and maintain a focus on Amelia Island as a major visitor destination through a new and consistent use of environmental branding. In an effort to create a better sense of place and to expand Amelia Island's brand identity, expanding the brand identity will enhance the visitor experience and grow the market by encouraging return visits. When this item was discussed at the Board of County Commissioners, everyone was very impressed. Beautiful document. What it shows and what it delivers is right on point. Initially, there was a $350,000 allocation at the recommendation of the TDC. To fund a portion of phase one. So at the February 17th meeting, a unanimous motion of the Board of County Commissioners was to prioritize implementing solutions at strategic gateways and key motorist decision points, i.e. roundabouts, for the utilization of that first $350,000 that's already been allocated. We were directed through the AICVB, through GIL, to come through you as AITDC to bring forward updated cost estimates for those strategic gateways and motorist decision points, funding source, and recommendations for specific improvements. Through the AICVB and TDC, direct staff to expand the contract with Dawson and Associates to identify potential branding solutions for following corridors, areas based on typical visitor trip patterns, key motorist and pedestrian decision points, and other orientation factors. Essentially, they liked what you all did so much that they would like Dawson to take a look at a couple other areas and see if there's additional solutions that would be fitting. And one of the things I want to bring up as part of this and kind of how everything ties together is as State Road 200 finishes, a couple years ago, the Board of County Commissioners entered into an agreement with the Department of Transportation to provide enhanced landscaping from I-95 essentially to County Road 107. So you're about to see $7.1 million in landscaping get installed with irrigation. We, the county, is going to take over maintenance of all of that landscaping. So we have direct control. It was important to the Board of County Commissioners that we maintain it at the level we feel is appropriate. And the board has made an allocation of funds in order to make sure it's maintained at the expected level. Third, as part of the extended contract with Dawson, is to deliver a comprehensive menu of environmental branding solutions with cost estimates, funding sources, annual maintenance costs, and an implementation schedule that would correspond to the 10-year planning horizon. So there are some really incredible things already in this document, the things we want to accomplish, but there's no way that we can do it overnight. And so we're going to have a really strategic plan. And so what I like to work with is menus. We get a menu. It may have 50 things on the menu. Some of those may be appropriate to be funded through TDT funds. Some of those probably are not going to be. They may be recreation funds. They may be general funds. It just depends. And we're not going to know until we get the recommendations, which is going to get vetted through this body, and then a recommendation up to the Board of County Commissioners. But the most important thing is that we all agree on what the long-term intent and goal is. The idea or the hope is that we could have the expanded work of Dawson done by July of 21, so we can use those inputs in the creation of the 2021-22 annual budget, and then inputs for the five-year CIP. As part of that initial work is Marshall, Mr. Ironman, and Director Deal are working with Gill and the AICVB to come up with some preliminary estimates for budget development. And then as we progress through the initiative, those costs will be further defined. Gill has graciously, through the AICV, agreed to provide project management oversight. The initial service, talking with attorney, the OMB director and procurement manager, the tourist development tax dollars can be used for the expanded services for Dawson to do the study. And then once the menu comes back, we can make a determination on how it will be implemented and what funding sources could be used. The second item that the board discussed in their February meeting was the Amelia Island Beachfront Parks Branding Harmonization and Visitor Experience Enhancement Initiative. One of the key components that's in your environmental branding initiative that you all did such a good job on was these beachfront signages. And so creating that cohesive place-based aesthetic when you go from park to park, access to access, is important, because what do we want to do, right? The beach is the amenity, right? It is the jewel, it's the draw. And so we have to stop looking at these access points in these parks as just a park. It's not just the park, it's the gateway to the amenity. And let's be honest, not all of our access ways and beach parks are fitting of the amenity in which they provide access to. And so using that concept, you know, meeting visitor expectations, enhancing visitor experiences, and growing the market by encouraging return visitors, it's imperative that our beach gateways match the exquisite standard of the natural feature they access. So tying it in and kind of making it, so this fits with the bigger picture, the Board of County Commissioners recently adopted a Parks, Recreation, Open Space Systems Master Plan. There are some big items in there that stretch out over the planning horizon of 2045, but there are also some very practical short-term priorities. There's 10 of them. The first is to hire a certified Parks and Recreation professional. So for the first time since the founding of Nassau County in 1824, we have an actual Parks and Recreation professional on staff whose full-time job is to do these things for us, which is long overdue. Give the commission all the credit in the world for prioritizing Parks and Recreation. Number four on that list of 10 is to execute a beach access and parking assessment. This will be island-wide. We're doing it. We're going to do it. We're going to execute it. At the end of the day, and I've talked about it for years now, eventually, we're going to end up something probably similar to what they have in Anne Marie Island. I use that as the example because I vacationed down there. It's where I got married. We've been going down there for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. You rent your house. You show up. You drop your boat off at the marina. You park your car. And sitting there is your six-passenger golf cart and the trolley stop. And you don't get back in your car until it's time to go pick your boat up from the marina because there's nowhere to park. And if you want to go anywhere, you hope there's a golf cart parking spot. And so you use the trolley. You use the trolley to go to dinner. You use the trolley to go to the beach. You use the trolley for everything. Eventually, we're going to get to the point where we're probably going to have satellite parking. We're going to have a means for both tourists and day trippers to navigate the island because you're never going to build enough parking along the beach to suffice. I mean, if you go to the beach now, the parking lots are full. The parking lots were full this past weekend. Parking on the beach was full. And so we're going to have to think beyond kind of what we know and what we've done and look to models in other places that are 15, 20 years ahead of us. The number seven on that is the upgrade existing parks. So that includes beachfront parks as well as non-beachfront parks. But what we want to make sure from a management standpoint is when we're making these efforts to look at what types of amenities we need at these additional parks, we're doing it within the context of these gateways, right? So it's not just what do we want to add at Peter's Point that people are going to like, let's throw in a splash pad. How does that fit within the context of viewing these as gateways, enhancing visitor experience, so we're not taking one step forward and two step back, right? Let's make sure it's cohesive and comprehensive when we start laying out these long-term plans. So the unanimous motion of the board was to direct the AICVB through you all to create and bring back to the board for consideration a scope of work to execute a study to create an implementation strategy that harmonizes environmental branding amongst all beachfront parks, beach access points, enhances visitor experience at all beachfront parks and beach access points. The scope shall include conceptual enhancements, plans, packages for the following seven beachfront parks and its main beach, Sadler, Seaside Park, Peters Point, Burney Park, Scott Road Access, and then the South End Access and the North Beach Access. We'd like to have the same with the environmental branding. It's a corresponding comprehensive menu of visitor enhancement projects, packages with cost estimates, funding sources, annual maintenance, and then again, the 10-year implementation strategy. Big picture, lots of things. It's going to come from various different pots, how to pay for it. So what we need is a really good plan menu of when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, and how it's going to get paid for. Incorporate the work that Dawson's already done in the environmental branding report, with the signage. In coordination with the ASCVs, just like the previous work with the OMB director, to start looking at some preliminary estimates for use and budget development for this upcoming fiscal year, as well as the five-year CIP. Again, Gil has graciously offered to be the project management, provide oversight. I know he's done a lot of work because he's been sending me a bunch of emails from different places, and stuff's pretty impressive. So I'm pretty excited to see what the outcome of that is. I guess the destination planning as different from community planning is pretty impressive, some of the things they come up with. And then the last one, the third one, which is what I'm going to ask for some direction and input on today, is the American Beach Cultural Heritage Visitor Experience. So the intent is to capture the essence of American Beach, protect the sense of place, honor the rich cultural heritage of the community, and authentically tell the story of American Beach through the built natural environment. So I broke it down as simply as this when I talked to the board. The draw is the place, right? People come from all over the world to visit American Beach, to go to the museum, to see it firsthand. If there's no longer a destination, there's no reason for people to come. It's just a story about a place that used to be there. And so there's a direct correlation between protecting place and visitor destination. So in order to meet visitor expectation, enhance visitor experience, and grow the market by encouraging return visits, we must allocate the resources necessary to maintain the integrity of place and authentically celebrate the unique characteristics that draw visitors from around the globe. So this was the motion. It's unanimous based on the 216 outline, project plan, scope of work, and timeline that Barth and Associates provided. Direct staff to work with Dr. Barth to finalize the project scope, work with the county attorney, OMB director, and procurement manager to secure services via the proper mechanism at an amount not to exceed $175,000. After receiving AITDC input related to scope of services, bring back to the board for consideration the final scope of services and contract to execute the assignment. And then I was told to have it done by Q4 of 21. Same as the last two projects, Director Deal to work with Gil and his team to come up with some preliminary estimates for budget development. Project notes is that our planning department, through Plan Director Crow, will provide project management oversight. The project team has been identified in the scope. And then the study will be funded from a combination of sources. The first being PEO's current budget for planning activities in American Beach, some recreation impact fees, and then tourist development tax fund. To give you some of the bigger picture of what's going on in American Beach, we're currently working with the community for a septic well conversion to public water and sewer. We've been working on that since 2018. We've partnered with the FGUA, and then we're working with hand-in-hand with DEP, Water Management District, the EPA, and then our legislative delegation. It's an $8.9 million project. The system's in design, should be completely designed by May of 21, and the construction is to commence in November of 2021, and possibly as late as February of 22. That'll include some resurfacing of roads, sidewalks, relocation of utilities. Over the last 2 years, we've often done about $400,000 in just infrastructure improvement, including redoing boardwalks, putting in park lights at the parking lot for the first time, installing the vehicular access kiosk. We've also been, for the last 4 years, working with the community on a community conservation plan, so not conservation from the standpoint of bunnies and trees, but conservation from the standpoint of the integrity of the form. So it's kind of like downtown Fernandina or Old Town. You know, there's a form in that original subdivision, the width of the streets, the widths of the lot, and making sure that as water and sewer becomes available, that it doesn't transition to look like the rest of the south end of the island. It needs to maintain some of its unique characteristics. Evans Rendezvous, we did mothball the structure so it's safe and secure. Through the National Park Service African American Civil Rights for the 20th Century, we did a historic structure report. We're going to get a site plan, floor plan, and renderings. It's about $28,000. We've also been in talks with the Trust for Public Lands, who assisted in the initial purchase of Evans Rendezvous. And once we finish the historic structure report, the water and sewer plan, as well as this initiative we're talking about today, we think there's some opportunities to a number of partners are really interested in seeing Evans Rendezvous return to its glory. And then lastly, the initiative we're talking about today, we just want to put it in the context of it's a portion of and part of a much bigger initiative that's been going on for the last 4 or 5 years inside of American Beach. So the project team, just in case you all are interested, Dr. David Barth, who's been on staff, kind of an adjunct staff member for the last 4 or 5 years with the county, has done a lot of work for us. Very happy with the way he leads projects. He's going to be the project manager and the lead public realm planner. Thad Crow, who is the county's plan director, will be the internal project manager and lead community planner. I'm going to serve in a role as kind of the government affairs liaison. And then on the day-to-day, so this is going to be like very much a boots-on-the-ground planning initiative, kind of old school, where it's in-person charrettes, walking tours, and so we're going to divide up into groups and kind of really get into the weeds on every corner and every block. So Gil has graciously volunteered to head up kind of the tourism marketing, product development, visitor enhancement, and marketing market expansion aspect of the project. Jeff is going to work to do the project branding, wayfinding, interpretive signage exhibits. Art Republic, Jessica Santiago, anyone who's familiar with some of the work that's been going on in downtown Jacksonville in the art scene, her firm, Art Republic, has been at the forefront. So one of the examples that they recently did, and I included it in your packets, is some work. And it's interesting, I use this picture because Dr. Cole, who's also celebrated in Jacksonville, she was actually the great-granddaughter of Abraham Lincoln Lewis, which is the founder of American Beach and is a property owner of American Beach. And so getting Art Republic on board as being kind of part of the team that's going to capture the aesthetic and put it into a form that it's going to last in perpetuity is a big deal for us. Anyone that's been in Northeast Florida probably knows the name Ennis Davis. He's kind of a local celebrity. Co-founder of the Jackson Magazine, Modern Cities. He's a historic and cultural planner, a big part of the La Villa initiative. He's agreed to be as part of this team. He's also an urban designer. Carlos Perez, he's out of Atlanta, but he's a very talented urban designer and transportation public realm planner. Holly Coyle, who's your assistant planning director, she's going to be serving as a planner. Your project engineers are all internal. You on staff have, the county has a civil engineer, transportation engineer, and a stormwater engineer, so that's where all the support will come from an engineering standpoint. And then Steve Spratt, who's the FGUA systems manager, also is the operator of our NAU utility. And so between him and our American Beach Water and Sewer District Advisory Board, they'll be the liaisons for utility discussion. So, there's Carlos. So what the board's motion on 217 was after receiving AITDC input related to the scope of services, bring back to the BOCC for consideration the final scope of services and contract to execute the assignment. So my primary ask of you all today is any input that you have related to the scope of services that I can relay back would be appreciated. The second part of the request is if you're inclined, we've included a resolution in your packets that lays out the justification and the findings of fact related to utilizing the TDT fund to execute this initiative. And so with that, through the chair, open it up to discussion.
Are there any questions for Taco on this American Beach program or scope of services or anything else that he presented?
Are we going to discuss the beach issues, the other two initiatives?
We were going to present those at future meetings just to kind of break it up into manageable chunks.
So okay, I just want to say that briefly on the beaches that we in the city, I brought this to the city's agenda on the 14th of March that we want to get in front of this issue and not behind it. Of the beach parks, two of the beach parks, both North Beach Park and Sattler, are under state management plans because there's Florida Forever dollars. So we want to make sure that this is all included in the planning, that it's not going to come down and you know, so it's a collaborative effort.
Yes, sir. I think that would be the intention, is that the whole project would be collaborative with all stakeholders. I don't think there's any kind of top-down approach indicated for anything.
With the American Beach, although it's later in the business, I want to bring up that part of this planning should include the A1A Ocean Trail Highways, which is can be a critical marketing issue and bring people here. So otherwise, I think I certainly support that initiative.
Are there any other questions for Taco? So that sounded like a motion line, but I didn't want to take that if there were other questions or comments for Taco. Mr. Weister.
Taco, first of all, great, great presentation. I know you've spent a lot of hours and you've many more things besides this, so hats off to you. Great, great job of sort of showcasing this and explaining the vision, so thank you. Just so I understand the ask, $127,000, that's for the American Beach part of it?
Yes, sir.
And then that's a one-time, and remind me again, that $127,000 does what?
So what we need to do is we need to establish the plan. And so the plan will include a 10-year implementation strategy for specific improvements. Some of those improvements may be TDT eligible. Some of them probably not going to be. And I'd like to use the example earlier is we know that there's a couple areas, a couple streets that the drainage isn't great. When they laid out the plat for American Beach, they didn't have a master stormwater system. So we know as we redo roads and sidewalks, we're going to have to address drainage. Clearly nothing to do with tourist development whatsoever. However, when you're working on the unified environmental branding for the island, you're probably going to tap into those TDT resources for the signage, the beach signage, those types of things. And so to answer your question, what are we looking at? I don't know until we get the menu.
Okay.
Hi, this is Olivia Hoblett. I just want to tell you thank you so much. I agree with Will. That was a very well done presentation. So thank you for putting your hard work on that.
Thank you.
All right. If there's no other questions for Taco, I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution in the packet.
I make a motion we approve the American Beach initiative project as as listed on the resolution.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
I'll second.
I do it. Bob Hartman.
Olivia, second.
Mr. Mullins, Olivia allowed to second if she's remote?
Yes.
Okay. We have a second from Ms. Hoblit. Mr. Ross, did you have a question?
It's not a question, it's a comment. Thank you for your presentation. It was very good, very comprehensive. And I do believe that a key county goal should be the preservation of the heritage and land of American Beach, and this initiative appears to provide a catalyst and a roadmap for taking us there. I have two reservations. One is the cost of $175,000. Seems pretty robust for the scope of work. And the extension is my experience with Dr. Barth, although you've had a very different experience, is that the plans often are more visionary and not fundable and not producible. So that's been my experience with the city and our recreation plan. That being said, I will support this motion. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion aye. Carries.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Taco. Great presentation.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, financials and market research, Mr. Langley.
Good afternoon. Let's see which one of these work.
I was just using that arrow key on the keyboard.
Oh, okay. Got it. Nope. There it is. I'm going to go over the financials briefly and the trend report. This is the fiscal year room revenue, which is the service basis for the tax tourist development tax collections. This is a five-year period from 2017. And as you can see, they each follow the regular, the similar pattern of collections. But in each year since 2017, we've been able to increase the revenue. Unfortunately, if you look at the dark blue line or the for 2020, as you can see, we were performing very well for the first 6 months of the year. Then Concourse was the last event to happen in March. The March 15th, the tourism industry in Florida shut down, and you can see that dip in the blue line, and then comes April, where we've had a 9% occupancy rate in lodging and a $12 RevPAR, and we began to recover a little bit in May. June, July was pretty good considering all the situations. We had folks out at the beach. And then if you look at the purple lines, you can see that we've been following our similar pattern with room revenue. In February was down a bit because of the lack of meetings and conventions at the bigger properties. March was down. February was down, I'm sorry. And we don't show March on here. Based on discussions with the hotel properties, March is going to be a very good month for us. So when you look at the bed tax collections, the dotted line is our 2021 budget, the red line is our 2021 actual, and the gray line is a five-year actual. So as you can see, we've outperformed budget every month from October through February. We have almost made budget in every month, and we anticipate that we'll exceed budget in the March through July time frame. I'll be happy to answer any questions about the bed tax report. Our budget overview, as you know, we operate on bed tax funding. There's no other governmental source of funds for the Tourist Development Council other than bed tax. Our budget this year is $7.9 million. 4.5 of that is from bed tax collections, and the rest are reserves that were approved as part of the budget. Our actual spend year to date is $1.9 million. Encumbered, which means purchase orders have been issued, total $1.2 million. Pending requisitions is $485,000. Most of that is in marketing, and that's when we have put in a request for a purchase order, but it's not yet been issued. But we track that to make sure that we don't overspend our budgets. And as you can see, the remaining total for budget is $4.3 million. The biggest portion of that is in marketing, which will occur as we ramp up here for the summer tourism season. Any questions on the budget overview? We wanted to show you the actual spend, encumbered, pending requisitions and remaining as a percentage of how it breaks out. So the total budget overview for marketing, it was 54%. The actual spend for travel trade is 24%. We have encumbered funds in marketing at 16% and pending requisitions at 6%. We also look at the STAR report, which is the generator of our main metrics. This is a 12-month STAR report. So you can see the gray period is from September through March was fiscal year 2020. Occupancy rate on the blue line is 42.5% from the March through February period. Average daily rate is $221.71. And I have to compliment the lodging industry here. Many destinations saw their lodging properties slash rates in order to build occupancy. And our lodging partners maintain their rates. Year to date, the average daily rate has only changed 7.5%. So we've been able to hold rate. This coming weekend for Easter, we have most hotels are in the $350 to $400 range. The Ritz-Carlton is obviously higher than that. But that will help us recover our bed tax that we lost as due to the pandemic. Our revenue per available room is $94.24, and that's about $100 less than what it was before the pandemic hit. But as you can see, the patterns are consistent, and we anticipate that the next 6 months we'll see significant growth in occupancy. ADR will be about where it is now, and RevPAR will be up considerably as a function of the occupancy rate. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. We also track occupancy on a weekly basis. The yellow line is how it trended in 2020, and as you can see, we've highlighted the 6th of March is when concourse occurred. Next is the 13th of March with the 2020 shutdown, and then as you can see, as March progressed, the weekly occupancy just fell off the score. So 2021 is our current years from January 2nd through March 20th, and we've seen growth starting with the early February numbers, and that's continued to the 2021 spring break, which we tracked on the week of the 20th of March.
So, Gil, you're saying last week we ran about 80% on the island?
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
I'd be happy to answer any other questions. On our visitor profile, we want to know what's happening in our customers' world. In 2020, the planning window for a visit to Mille Island was 27.8 days. Which was down 15.8% from the 2019 planning. The booking window is down 15% call it, town to 17.1 days, and we're actually seeing pickups in the week for the week. We've seen people that have seen, heard, or our Million Island Message is up 4 points from last year. The number of visitors has fallen from 680,000 in 2019 to 544,000 in 2020, which is down 21% from what it was the previous year. The economic impact is $526 million, down 24.2%. Our economic impact in 2019 was over $850 million. So you can see through for that, we've had significant declines in the booking window, the number of visitors, and the economic impact. January, February have been a bit of a struggle, but March looks very good. April, I guarantee you, we'll do better occupancy than we did last year. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have or welcome any input you might have about your property. Mr. Chairman, that's it for me.
Okay. All right, next up we have marketing reports.
All right, Nate Aaron, Partner Relations with the CVB. And all right, so just a few brief updates on Partner Relations. We updated the TDC website. Just made it a little bit easier to use, simplified the, you know, the COVID resources. It was getting to be pretty long, so we just made sure all the relevant things were very easy to see. Of course, the TDC meeting minutes and recorded links, such as today, will be on there as well. The addition, one of the highlights we added was the partner resources page, so you can, if you're a new business in the area, you can make your business listing right there online, get set up with all the resources you need to partner with us. And of course, the Media Hub, you have access, our partners have access, we have 400 tourism partners, they all have access to our Media Hub to use stock photos for their websites or collateral. So that's all available on the refreshed website. Our collateral refreshed these five brochures since we last met, and you know, we delivered, you know, myself and those at the chamber helped us deliver the collateral, over 100 cases in the last couple months, but these are the five brand new ones that are out. You can see those on the TDC website. You can go there and see all the collateral that's available to the partners there. Island Perks, so this promotional incentive card was released or launched early February, so 13 different lodging partners took advantage of this on the pilot program. Thus far, 64 packages have been reserved, 40 guests have checked in and activated the cards, and we've seen $3,600 of spend in the community out of the $4,000 of activated cards. So the program seems to be doing pretty well thus far, and like you said, 80% last week. Not quite a need period at the moment. Here's a little list of the top businesses redeeming these cards. So the company we're working with to provide these incentive cards give us this information. So, you know, right up there on the top, Cafe Caribou, Fantastic Fudge, Salt Life, Salty Pelicans. So this just shows that the money is going towards tourism-related, you know, merchants here on the island. So that seems to be doing what we would like. The Leave No Trace ordinance, we communicate every year to anyone that collects the TDT tax. We do that through the tax collector. They'll send out a letter every year with an example of collateral that they can give to their guests. But per the ordinance, they need to make sure they're compliant and informing their guests to not leave anything on the beach. Also in our annual audit, we look at all the beach signs. So at every public access, there should be something to communicate, you know, don't leave things behind. It will be destroyed after 8 o'clock. So there's a little bit to be desired there with replacing those signs around the island, and we're working with Jeremiah and Doug Podiak to get those back in place and getting some quotes for some fresh signs. And sanitizer stations. So earlier on in the pandemic, we did some rental stations. Not sure how long this would have lasted. Who would have thought? But those, it's more economical at this point for us to purchase and own our own sanitizer stations, which we did, and it was an opportunity for branding. They're located at these 10 high traffic areas around the island. So you may notice these beautiful sanitizer stations are here in place of the bright high-vis orange sanitizer stations. All right, and of course we give credit to who's providing these right there on with the branding. Any questions for my brief partner updates? Karen Hadley is up next with marketing.
Thanks, Nate. Hi, my name is Karen Hadley. I'm probably the only member of Gil's marketing team that is not having a baby. So I'm happy to report that I will be here throughout the spring. So I want to take you just really quickly through an advertising summary for this quarter, first quarter and second quarter. When last we met, we were talking about recovery and we were slowly getting into the marketplace in December. Now we've continued that, but the first thing we did really was to make sure that we understood our target. What did COVID do to travelers and how did that change their travel? So we did do some research refining who our target is and did a survey using our database of 88,000 people. And we did find that although COVID paused everybody's travel plans, the way people are traveling has really not changed. So we're continuing to use our younger couples and our families as our primary targets. We're looking at destination loyalists. Clearly, if you've been here to Amelia Island and you love it like we do, it's easy enough to encourage you to come back because you see all the benefits that we do. And we're looking at travelers in drive markets, and that's an expanded drive markets. Clearly, people afraid to fly, not ready to fly yet, will travel slightly farther than the 5-hour drive market that we had seen previously. So we launched the leisure marketing campaign around the Moments campaign. I think you've seen this. So this is flexible around the Come Make Memories, but using the benefits of creating moments that is so integral to Amelia Island. We've continued to be digital focused, and you know that gives us the flexibility that we need to not only react to the marketplace, but to be able to change and adjust should things change. We also did special executions. Here's some digital executions. I wanted to just make sure you saw some. We did some special executions for food and wine, targeted some of our high value foodies. We did golf. That has been a mainstay throughout into first quarter, doing very well through the pandemic. So golf is pandemic immune, I guess. And we also did something special with Marina Life. We also took the opportunity for opportunity markets and moved into audio podcasts. That's a new area for us. This one, of course, is near and dear to our heart, featuring Nick Saban, and we are a sponsor of that in April. So look for that podcast. We launched a vacation rental campaign. This is another golf being one that survived during the pandemic. This was a great opportunity using paid social and SEM, search engine management, to target the multi-gen and our snowbirds. We launched a campaign for weddings in January as well. So paid social and digital targeting weddings. We found that weddings, while they may be slightly different, people were still getting married. Again, flexible using paid social and digital. We've also partnered with a lot of local photographers to give us these amazing photographs, and that's been an expansion of some of our partnering locally. Finally, we launched the meetings campaign. So this is a big one. We know that meetings is critical to our success moving forward and also has been severely affected by COVID. So we've got a program using SEM and digital and also email, targeted email at meeting planners. We know how important Cvent is in North Star, those hubs for meeting planners. I think it was a key person over at the Ritz who told me, great, I love what you're doing with weddings or with meetings, but Cvent, 75% of my RFPs come through Cvent. So we spent some really valuable time looking at our Cvent destination page. We've redone that entire website and microsite. We've got some paid advertising launching on top of that. So we feel strongly that we're positioned with Cvent, and now we're working with the partners to make sure someone like the Ritz and the Omni are certainly already well represented there, but to make sure that anybody who's in the meeting space is taking advantage of that platform that we've put on. And probably most exciting, and this is just coming out, so this is very new to show you, is we've just completed a new meetings video. So this will go out on the website, but you'll also see cut down versions in social and in some other opportunities, and certainly available for our partners. Here we go. Oop. Whoa. I need AV help. Not now. Not now. Oh, here we go. All right. Hold on.
Just off the northeast coast of Florida rests an enchanting barrier island where tranquility meets productivity and natural beauty sets the stage for your successful event. Welcome to Amelia Island, where meetings are island-inspired. Amelia Island is located just 30 minutes from Jacksonville International Airport. From the moment your group arrives, they'll feel as though the entire island was meant just for them. Attention to detail and authentic touches go into every facet of your event. It's in our nature, after all. Approximately 140,000 square feet of combined event space offers flexibility for meetings large or small, with several elegant ballrooms to choose from and stunning outdoor settings, where brainstorms meet blue skies. There are endless options that make your event truly one of a kind. Rest assured, spaces for social distancing and the highest safety protocols are in place. Everything about Amelia Island Meetings is designed with your needs in mind. Innovative dining concepts offer the most exquisite menus. Whether it's tantalizing spices from around the world or the freshest ingredients grown on site in an organic garden, dining on Amelia Island is an experience within itself. Break out and breathe in. Free time on Amelia Island is the perfect opportunity for your attendees to unplug and recharge. And when they're ready for some exploring, quaint, walkable downtown Fernandina Beach has many treasures to discover. Plan a unique cultural history tour or book an early tea time on the island's links. From sand dunes to southern charms, nothing on island is more than 15 minutes away. Surrounded by nature, plan to perfection. Bring your meeting to the tranquil barrier island, where you can safely come together and feel as though you're a world away. Island-inspired meetings, only on Amelia Island.
Okay, and finally, I want to thank the Ritz and the Omni and all of our partners for helping us film that. We know that there's some COVID and some safety things in here that may evolve, knock on wood, in the near future. So we do have plans to be able to recut that and also to include some of our newer partners like the Marriott teams as they get on and we shoot additional footage. But we think that's going to be a great resource for us with our meeting planners. We did do a small little select group to show and make sure we were on the right track, and their response was enthusiastic. So we're very optimistic about that. The other thing that we've been spending some quality time doing is the website refresh. And we did talk, I think, last time about phase one, where we redid the navigation and some of the graphics and in order to make the user experience more seamless and easier for people to get to the information that's compelling. The next phase, and this is, we're actually right in it now, is we've redesigned all the business listings. So regardless of category, we've redesigned the business listings to make sure that the information that people need and that would be compelling is right there at your fingertips. You can see that it's easy to notice at the top, there's all the contact information, there's great drop-downs to list amenities and give lots of details for people as they make decisions, and you're never more than one click away from getting to be able to book or make a reservation or find what you need to do to be able to visit. We've expanded the weddings and meetings custom business listings, so that's going to be a great tool. This is the one I've shown you up here is a sample of the Residence Inn, and that's the design for its general business listing, but you can see the click out to weddings and meetings, and then there'll be a customized site talking specifically about those features. We have added additional service and venue categories for groups in order to make that more compelling for meeting planners to find all they need as they're looking at the island. So I forewarn anybody who's in one of the lodging partners or in the one of our industry partners, you will be getting calls because we're going to go through and ask you some questions about some of the amenities and the details so that we make sure we put your best face forward on our website. Okay, I got Mary Lou Welling is our social media director, and she's going to take you through social media.
Thank you, Karen. Good afternoon, everyone. I have about a week left, so we're staying cozy inside and snug. So we'll make this kind of quick. As Karen alluded to, our paid creative social on social media matches our brand voice. So keeping that consistent and supporting all of the campaigns that we're doing across our social media channels has been our number one priority since launching the campaigns this January. But what we really wanted to do was peel back and provide authenticity for our campaigns. And by authenticity, I mean when you see an ad, you know you're being sold to. Hopefully not ours, but when you pull it back and you start looking at blogs and you start looking at that authentic voice, that's what really draws in our user to start planning their trips to come here. So what we've done is we've been able to curate user-generated content through our platform called CrowdRiff, which shouldn't be a new term. It's where our new media hub is for our partners, and it is actually a great collector for our owned assets, our partner assets, and user-generated content. So that user-generated content is the voice out there of the visitors that are here in market with us. And what we've been able to do, as you can see from the pictures on the screen, we're able to create a blog with our in-house writer, but then also pull in the authentic voices of the visitors that are here in market. So that really kind of solidifies what we're writing about is the experience that you get while you're here. And we're also able to add geotags to those and also link out to the partners' websites on there. So it gets a lot of engagement and a lot more interaction. And then we also use our UGC in our galleries for our e-blast out to the database. And additionally, so the graph that you see there is a great representation of how we've been using these. So in Q4 of last year, you can see that the numbers are a little bit lower, and then in Q2, so that this past January, February, March, we absolutely rocked it. So creating all those new galleries and inserting them on our blogs and on our travel guides and everything is really, really paying off, keeping our website interactive. And then we took this one step further. As you all may know them as travel writers, they're now social media influencers. And we also have a couple great local bloggers that are travel writers that we were able to tap into and utilize even their more personal experiences here as well. So a little bit about our travel influencer program. You can see here is a great example of Molly that we hosted. And what we do is we put out a profile so that any of the partners that are working with us on the influencer, they can put a face to a name before they even meet the person. They can share it with their teams, and then they also know the story of why they're here. So that way they can put any personal touches on their visit that they can. And then on the other side, that influencer is posting on social media. So in turn, it feeds our blogs. So it's kind of this nice little circular ecosystem that has been great supporting all of our engagement. And then you can see in the picture, the videos at the bottom there, that's real-time experience that influencer experienced while she was here. So when we share that with our visitors or potential future visitors, then they're able to plan their trip based on other experiences. And then, of course, we come back and look at all the metrics. So is this working for us? Was it the right audience? How did her blog perform? And we've shown that it definitely, definitely pays off. So back to that circular thing. You definitely see the growth in our strategy on our social media channels. So after the blogger's here, we create the blog, we insert her things, and then we promote it all out on our channel. So that content continues to live on, and it's done a great job continuing to grow over the last two quarters. So I could stand up here and talk social media all day with everybody, and I'm sure my marketing team could too. But I just wanted to let you guys know there's a ton of marketing reports, there's our public relations reports and everything that you can find in your board books as well as online on the TDC website.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if we have time.
We have another video. It's Million Island Nature. I know you've seen it. It'll take about 3 minutes if you'd like
sure.
to show it.
Yeah, please.
Can I ask a question? I guess
not. Use the mouse.
Which one do you want to use?
Go ahead and click on it.
Got it.
There we go.
Okay.
On the northeastern tip of Florida lies a barrier island offering an unspoiled setting for natural escape. This is Amelia Island. A natural wonder greeting you with adventure in her heart and excitement in her soul. As if kissed by Mother Nature herself, she welcomes many ways to explore her acres of wide Florida beach, pristine dunes, maritime forests, and intercoastal waterways. Her veins nourish and her roots run deep. Untouched, uncrowded, and unspoiled wonders of Amelia Island are undeniable. On an island where some slow down and others seek adventure. moments come together naturally, and the sun meets the shore twice a day. Amelia Island, come make memories.
Mr. Chairman, we have old business and new business, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this point. Dr. Ross?
What's geotagging?
Sorry?
Geotagging?
That means that we can tag that rider to find out where they were when they wrote their blog.
Hey. Any other questions on the marketing or financials and research? All right, we'll move into old business. Commissioner Krieger.
As you all know, the 1988 charter allocates 10% for beach infrastructure. Last couple of meetings, I pointed out that the city has requested funding for work on the Sattler Walk over Merseyside Park. It's difficult to get, you know, as the process, you have to put out the bid. So in your pack is the invitation to bid, bunches of pages, which shows what it is. And we're looking, Seaside Park, there are five hotels in the Sattler corridor. The latest data, I believe the TDC published, was 70% overnight guests there. So on the 20th of April, we're going to open up the bids, and you can see what it is. It's a 100-feet extension of new walkover with 280-foot ADA ramps down to the beaches. I won't tell you what the amount is because I don't know. It'll be based on the bid, but it'll be significant. On the 20th, we will come back and ask the TDC to fund the 70% share. In addition, there will be redecking, which will be done by the city. I think the number we've been looking around is $300,000, what the original quest was, but we won't know the money, so we'll be coming back in. This will be, if successful, this will be the first time since 1988 the city has received infrastructure money out of the 10%. Although there was money for renourishment in 2008, 2017, 2018, and for Matthew, this will be the first, and I think it's important when you talk about beach harmonization and those things that we get these things done. This is a significant park, so we'll be coming back and asking you, but you can look at that and see what that is to see what, you know, the scope of the work. Thank you.
Commissioner Krieger, what's the urgency of this project? I mean, is the...
The urgency is that it's deteriorated very bad. Significant deterioration. That happens to be one of the walkovers that probably 6-7 years ago we got a donation from Rust-Oleum to put a kind of a sealer on there. It's been out, it's old, it needs to be redone. The ADA is non-functional because of the dunes building up, and so it's just time to do it. It's well beyond its service life.
I understand. What I'm asking is that, you know, if we're talking about a beach harmonization project of which a component is the beachfront parks, it seems like if we're adding things to the park, we ought to take it in context with the beachfront park harmonization and not and get in front of that. You know, does that make sense?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but you know, we've been working on this. We put in four new walkovers last year, three with 50% state funding, one with 100% state funding. We have 100% state funding for another one this year. We have 48 beach accesses, and we still have to maintain those, so we can't stop. You know, we're moving forward. This will fit into the beach harmonization. It fits into the beach master plan, the park management plan, which is filed with the DEP. So we can't, I agree, we just can't stop where we're going. We have to move forward with our projects.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely. They're city beaches, I understand that.
So, and this will fit in. This isn't gonna, you know, that park, you know, that's a significant walkover. You know, you have a walkover that comes in from the north across from Sliders. You have the long walkover with the shower. You have, I believe, the two sun or gazebos on there. It's a significant walkover, and it's not going to go anywhere with the harmonization. It's going to be there in some shape or form.
Did he answer your question?
Well, I'm just. It just seems like if you're adding capacity and you're looking for TDT dollars, and we're talking about a harmonization and a bigger strategy, it seems like that piece of it is jumping the gun. In just my opinion,
we're not adding capacity.
You're talking I thought you talked about adding ADA ramps.
We're repairing a structure that's replacing a section 100 feet with 280-foot ADA ramps that's reached the end of its service life.
Oh, I thought you were adding 100 feet of structure.
We're knocking 100. We're replacing 100 feet, and then it'll go 100 feet. You know, replacement. And then it'll go zigzag for ADA. This is replacement of an existing facility.
Let's talk offline after.
Okay. Yeah, you can. You'll.
Okay. Is that all, Commissioner Krieger?
That's on it. But just remember, as soon as the bids are in and they're selected, then we'll come back and ask for the money for the TDC to recommend it to the county. I'm confident the county will look at it objectively.
And then new business, Commissioner Krieger, A1A.
I forwarded a letter. This is a letter for, in 2016, the A1A Ocean Highway Trail was adopted by the state of Florida, FDOT. It's been kind of in limbo with the pandemic, and I just attached this letter because this letter is going out. This is a draft, a letter that will go out. At the last meeting that I attended, we talked about American Beach, and you know, this certainly would fit in my mind to the American Beach cultural experiences, you know, the Ocean Highway with a stop at American Beach. So I just put that in there for information, but hopefully it'll be incorporated into the plan. Pretty brief, huh?
So, Commissioner Krieger, there's no ask here, then?
No, there's nothing.
Okay.
Just information.
All right, is there any other new business or any comments for the good of the order or anything to come before the Tourist Development Council today? All right, we stand adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.